Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, welcome to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. First, some good news. Fellowship on the Lawn resumes this morning. After the destruction to our fellowship hall, we've kind of postponed that, but today we're bringing it back. So rejoice. Also, thanks to everybody that was able to be here and help out with I always call it a reunion, but I know it's homecoming. Homecoming on last Sunday. Wow, what a great event. And just an interesting story, right? Like that came out and I just wanted to share in Sunday school. You know, as people were arriving, you know, we had all those tables out there. And there wasn't a lot of food initially, right? And so we were starting to worry. You know, we didn't get a caterer this year because we couldn't guarantee the event. And we were worried that if it was a rain that we would, you know, lose out on the money. And so we were trying to watch things a little tighter. We decided to shy away from that. But we came into worship and y'all saw last week, there were tables and tables spread out for food. And it was a little scary to look at because you're thinking, you know, who's going to go to the Bojangles and buy about 300 pieces of chicken, right? But I'll tell you what, the person mentioned that, and they talked about praying, right? And just praying that there would be enough. And then, of course, as we all know, when we got out to go to the actual homecoming, those tables, I mean, I don't even know, did people show up and just drop off food? Right? Because it was such an amazing outpouring of abundance. And there was a variety of food. There was food for everyone, plenty. And it was just, it was one of those moments where you realize, you know, sometimes this worry that we build ourselves up with, if we could just do what the Bible tells us and let go and let God handle things, it would all work out. But that's kind of my extended thank you for all the people that helped out in such a great event. We're going to collect the 10 cents a meal offering this morning during worship. Marked donations can be put in the offering plate or in the box on the communion table during our offertory time, or you can bring it forward and put it in here, up here, during the time of giving. We have an upcoming prayer vigil. And remember that whole push thing, pray until something happens. We're going to be open from prayer next Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex, and I want to personally invite you, if you haven't signed up already and you have some time on Saturday, do please sign up for some time. The benefit to you alone is worth it because time and spent in dedication is so important. The Bible tells us, draw near to God, and He'll draw nearer to us. That's in James' epistle. But anyway, we need the prayer for the church, for the community, for the world right now. And so I would really implore you to take some time and sign up on that sheet and come and join us. It's going to be a quiet sanctuary in here. We can talk out in the narthex, but this will be a space of prayer as people really lift up to God the things that are on their hearts, the concerns, the worries. You know, prayer is such a vital part of our lives as Christians, and when we corporately engage in it, I think we'll just be amazed at the results that we'll see in our own hearts, in our own lives, and in the life of this church as well. So please, next Saturday, sign up, and even if you don't, come by. Just stop by and spend some time in prayer for the world and for the church. The Operation North State collection for our North Carolina retired U.S. soldiers is going on through next Sunday, November 1st, and the Operation Christmas Child collection will be from November 6th through the 17th. A list of items most needed for both of these collections are listed in your weekly newsletter, and collection boxes are in the Narthex and Ed Building lobbies. Please mark your calendar for the upcoming events here at Cook's. First, we're going to observe All Saints Day next Sunday, November 5th, during our 10 a.m. worship service, and we'll light a candle in the name of each of our saints that have gone on to be with the Lord this year. Again, I encourage you to be here for that. It's a very moving service, especially for the people who've lost loved ones, and to be there for your brothers and sisters in Christ is an important time. We're going to have our Hanging of the Greens party. We're going to gather at the sanctuary at 4:30 on Sunday, November 19th, and we need your help for decorating the sanctuary this year. And then because we don't have a fellowship hall, and we know it's less than ideal, but we really do want to invite everybody to join us at the sports page following for a celebration that we'll have in their back room. The good stuff just keeps on coming. The Queen City Ringers will ring us into the Christmas spirit with their handbell Christmas concert on Saturday, December 2nd from 4 to 5:30 in our sanctuary. Our very own Bonnie Pace and Clayton, it says here, will be in that. I knew Bonnie. I didn't know Clayton. We will receive a love offering from this group during the intermission. One last reminder. Time changes next weekend, so set your clocks back 1 hour. When going to bed next Saturday night. But the good thing is if you don't, on the way back in, you just get to make Sunday school if you show up, right? So it's kind of a win. So don't, just show up early, right? The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in the joyful celebration of Jim and Vera Smith's 63rd wedding anniversary from their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and also to honor both a wonderful 85th birthday this year. Did y'all hear that? It's not only their 63rd wedding anniversary, but they'll also both celebrate their 85th birthday this year. Wow. I just remember one time I came to help take the pulpit down off the dais for a wedding, and Jim was coming back, and I was walking over here, and I was like, yeah, we got to take down the pulpit. And Jim's like, yeah, we already got that. And I asked somebody that day, I was like, how old is Jim? And they said, I think he's over 80, right? I was impressed. All right, so those are the announcements that I have today. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought before?
Yeah, Pastor, I'd like to say one more thing about the Operation Christmas Child boxes. I went on and put them together, and they're on the shelves out there in the narthex on both sides. So those are empty boxes ready for you to grab them and pack them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And there's labels on the table. If you take a label, you don't need a brochure because there's a label in the brochure. But if you take a brochure, it'll show you what all goes in these boxes. So it helps a beginner, you know. And next Sunday is the last Sunday for Operation North State. And that's a drop deadline because they'll have to have that stuff delivered the Monday after next Sunday. Thank you.
I have one as well. The laundry ministry was busy at work on Friday. We went to two different laundromats, and we dispersed $60 to those who needed it. We had several who declined and said, pass it on. So that's what we do. Thank you.
Those being the announcement, let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O God, you are God. Earnestly we seek you.
Our souls thirst for you as in a dry and weary land.
Your steadfast love is better than life itself.
Our lips will praise you and lift your name on high.
In the shadow of your wings we sing for joy.
For you are our help and you our hearts for joy. Thanks for me. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the vastness of your creation and against the clamor of our daily lives, our souls earnestly seek you. Just as the deer longs for water, so do our spirits thirst for your living presence. In a world filled with distractions and duties, help us, Lord, to choose the better part, to sit at your feet and to find solace in your word. Lord, inspire us in the devotion of Mary, who recognized the importance of being still in your presence. As Martha was concerned with many things, remind us, O God, that it is you who sustains us, and in your presence we find true satisfaction. In times we feel like wanderers in a dry and weary land, rekindle our hearts with the fire of your love. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be a reflection of our deep longing for you. As we gather here today, may we be reminded of your steadfast love that is better than life itself. Quench our spiritual thirst, O Lord, and guide us to the eternal wellspring of your grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite you now to join me in the singing of our first hymn, Rising, of those of you who are able, for song number 56. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we seek to share his peace with all that we encounter. Let us celebrate that mission by the sharing and passing of the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Please sound like
We come now into a time of confessing our sins, lifting up to God the knowledge that we have fallen short of His duties and His word, and find ourselves in need of His grace and ongoing love. And so we turn our attention to our prayers of confession, remembering that God has graced us with Jesus Christ and invites us into His love, into His way. We confess our sins, expecting to find not God's condemnation, but God's everlasting grace. And so let us boldly confess our sins corporately and then silently, personally before God, with the expectation of marveling at God's mercy. Let us pray aloud together. Merciful God, in the busyness of our days, we confess that we often lose sight of what truly matters. Like Martha, we become preoccupied with many tasks, forgetting to sit and listen at your feet. Our souls long for you, yet we let worldly distractions pull us away. We admit, O Lord, that we do not always prioritize our spiritual hunger, neglecting the deep thirst within us that only you can satisfy. Forgive us for the times we have chosen the fleeting over the eternal, the noise over your still small voice. Draw us back to you, O God. Help us to seek you earnestly, to find joy in your presence, and to rest in the assurance of your steadfast love. Renew our spirits and guide us in your paths of righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Friends, the good news is simply this, that the Bible shares with us the glorious story of Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace, our everlasting counselor, our wondrous friend who gave his life for us and for our salvation, ensuring that the penalty of the law would never be felt by us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. And now we take the time to add detail to what it is we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. We utter our faith, the faith that's been declared for generations and yet uniquely ours in the declaring. So let us say and state our faith using the words from the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He descended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence I shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 54. There you go. this point, we'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time with Miss Emily that's just for them.
Good morning.
How is everybody today? Good? So when you are in school, can you all tell me all of the different subjects that you learn in school? What are the different subjects? You have reading. Yeah. Writing. Math. Science. Oh, hold on a second. Can you remind me before I leave today, can you remind me that I need to get pumpkin spice creamer before I leave, okay? Pumpkin spice creamer, okay. So you have reading, writing, math, science, social studies, okay? And what other things do you do when you're at school? You read books. You write sentences. You do math in the mornings. Yep. Do you ever go outside and play when you're at school? Yeah. You go outside and play. Do you all ever use computers at school? Yep. Do the computers ever mess up or anything like that? Sometimes, yeah. And the teachers maybe have to go fix them. Yep. Oh, and can you remind me when before I leave today, I need to get cream cheese at the grocery store too. Okay, cream cheese. Oh, and when you're at school, when your parents pick you up, do they pick you up in the carpool line or do you ride the bus?
I do the carpool.
You usually ride the carpool line. Okay, okay. Do you all ever do anything called CNN 10 at school?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. What is CNN 10? Tell me about that. Tell me about it, Aiden. No? Finley, tell me about CNN 10. It's a news channel for kids, so you learn about all kinds of different news things in 10 minutes or less, so all different kinds of news things. Hey, can you do me a favor and remind me that we need to pick up some extra coffee when we're at the grocery store, okay? Okay. So you watch CNN 10. You have all the different subjects and things when you're at school. Do you ever play with friends when you're at school? Yeah, you play with friends. So you have lots of different things that you're doing when you're at school. How do you keep all of that information and make sure that if you're in math class that you know that you're doing the right stuff for math and not doing your social studies or science work for during math?
Remember in your mind that you gotta memorize the whole schedule.
You have to memorize the whole schedule. Okay. So you have to memorize your whole schedule. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool that you have to memorize it. So what do you do when people ask you to remember things that maybe didn't fit into the schedule?
I just write it down.
You write it down.
Hmm.
That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. Were there things today that I probably should have written down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what were the things that I probably should have written down? Pumpkin spice creamer and cream cheese and coffee. Okay. Well, thank you for reminding me about that. There's lots of things that we do every day, right? We get lots of information. And if we don't make lists or remember what's important, sometimes we forget things, right? So we have to remember what's important.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Well, thank you for helping me remember my grocery list today. And thank you for helping me remember that sometimes we need to make a list to remember the important things, okay? Well, let's say a prayer, okay? Dear Lord, thank you for helping us remember what's important.
Thank you for helping us remember what's important.
And thank you for loving us.
And thank you for loving us.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have a good day.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming the word, and as always, we begin with a prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that as we read and explore your word with greater detail, that you would awaken within us by the power of your Holy Spirit a strong sense of urgency and desire to delight primarily in you, O Lord. Allow us to be freed from the distractions and the digital clutter of our lives, to allow your word to penetrate into us, to soak into our bones, allowing us to find freedom through Jesus Christ. It's in his holy and everlasting name that we make all of our prayers. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament scripture reading comes to us today from Psalm 63. You'll find it on page 568 in your pew Bibles. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped.
The word of God for the people of God.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Luke. It's a familiar passage for many of us. I read it to you now. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it was early in my ministry that I got a lesson that not everything is exactly as it appears. As a person from the North Carolina Forestry Department came to the First Presbyterian Church of Mount Holly and let us know that one of the trees that was right there on the front of the church property was dying, or it was likely dead already, but we just couldn't tell. But see, the thing was, the tree looked healthy and hale. It still had leaves and foliage, and it looked perfectly fine. It was with some great fear that we went ahead and contracted to have the tree cut down, and gosh, when we did, we were really grateful, because there on the inside was very little. The tree had literally was rotting and dying from the inside out. I mean, I think we might know a little thing or two about this ourselves, right? If you had asked me 10 weeks ago whether or not that majestic tree was good for another couple of years, I would have said for sure. And I probably would have hit the thing a couple of times. Maybe a good thing I didn't, right? It could have collapsed then, right? The fact of the matter is that things can be rotten on the inside, and yet on the outside, exterior, look like everything's fine. Right, we recognize that. We see it as a truth, not only in trees. We may even see it in our own lives at times. There can be times in our lives where we're functioning very well to the outside world, but inside, it's a different story. We're a mess. We're being rotted from the inside out. You know, I can't help but think, as I round my way into my 53rd year now, that I've seen a good deal of change. In the country and in individuals in the world around us. And I've got to tell you, at this point, it's not really that impressive, a lot of the changes, a lot of the things that have transpired. And again, this image of this tree keeps coming back to me, of things getting rotten from the inside out and then not being able to withstand even the pressures of a little storm. And yet, you know, as we read the Christian Bible, we see these warnings to us time and time again to stay on the path, to continue in the way, to stay with God. And yet sometimes we blow through them and consider ourselves all the better for it. And yet somehow we find ourselves lacking and following further and further into a state of depression and despair. Make no mistake about it, if modernity, if the present times were working, then we would be able to chart its success in the happiness and contentment of people. But what we're seeing is an absolute cratering. People are significantly more depressed, more overly emotional, more down, more anxious, more fearful, more addicted. Everything negative is spiraling. It's exploding and proliferating. And the thing is, there's nothing, no barrier that seems to stop it. It just keeps on going. And so I've written this sermon series just really as a means to kind of look at the things that are assailing us and to really feel the problem. Because sometimes until we see the entirety of the problem, we just have no idea what we're in for. And again, I can't help but come back to those pictures that were probably on your sixth grade math teacher's doorway about the iceberg, where you just see the little floating top, but underneath it is a giant, enormous ice mass that's coming towards you. We need to see and feel the problem, to trace its contours, so that we stand the chance of working our way back into a state of peace and joy and love and hope. These things that we'll talk about in the coming Advent season are precious commodities that should be bubbling over in our lives, and for a great many of us, they aren't. So let's look at the problems. Let's explore and speak candidly about them and see what we can do, looking and balancing the wisdom of the Bible against our modern condition. I begin with a story about a very successful capital firm that started out in the late 1990s. They were called Long Term Capital Management, and they were a phenom at the very beginning. You see, they found and exploited a marketing or really a trading strategy in the bond market that allowed them to capitalize on slight fluctuations in prices. It was a good trading strategy, and they did very well, and soon investors were seeking them out, wanting to put their money with them to see gains and multiply their wealth. And everything was going well for a while, but there at Long Term Capital Management, they decided that this trading strategy that they had created would work in other areas as well, so they broadened it and began to expand into other marketplaces other than just the bond market. But in a staggering short period of time, the firm collapsed. And of course, whenever you see something rise up and fall so quickly, people want to know what happened. Analysis after the fact showed that they, in their expanse to take on these new markets, were literally inundated with data and they couldn't process it all. It is, to use the metaphor or the image, it was like trying to drink water from a fire hose. It was too much, and it blew them away, and it led to Long-Term Capital Management's dissolve, to be bankrupt. Guys, in a manner of speaking, we're seeing the same thing happen with us, believe it or not, that we, in our present condition, are inundated with data on an ongoing basis. It's hard to avoid, honestly, with our digital connectivity, the things that keep us anchored to our jobs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We open up our laptops even on vacation to find out what's going at work. We are anchored and tethered, and we are constantly being bombarded with information. And we're being bombarded in a way that is exploited because our attention generates dollars for other people. And again, I'm not here to make any one person the big bad wolf in this thing, but these firms, these tech firms know that our attention can be monetized. That is, if we're looking at Facebook for 12 hours a day, they know that there is a direct financial benefit to them. And so they've set up their systems to hook us on that ongoing flow of information. You know, when that little red light comes up on our screen to tell us about an incoming message, well, that fires a dopamine shot into your brain. It feels good. Somebody's thinking about me. The problem is it doesn't deliver the real good feelings that being with somebody and engaging in real conversation do. So we're taking in on this constant stream of data from our devices. We're always connected. And it is having known and direct psychological impacts. And we've got to look at them and take it into consideration. The first, one of the big psychological impacts of data saturation is increased stress and anxiety. Nowhere is this more clearly exemplified than in a young woman journalist named Sarah. Sarah took a job at one of the 24-hour news corps right out of college and was excited at first to get such a great job. But then she began to notice some things happening. She was getting a little bit more anxious. She found herself checking her phone umpteen times a day. Soon, every little event in the news would send her into an apoplexy of panic, finally culminating with a minor news story leading to her panic attack and her hospitalization. Now, are you Sarah or am I Sarah? Probably not, but we are all experiencing some of the things that Sarah experienced, this increased anxiety that comes from this constant flow of information. Sarah, thankfully, was able to kind of figure it out and was treated and got better, but she no longer works for the News Corporation. But I wonder how many of us find ourselves checking our news scrolls every 5 to 10 minutes, looking, hunting, anxious to see what the next story will be. Well, when we're caught in that cycle, our peace evaporates. We're constantly worried about what's coming next. But it isn't just the data anxiety leading to increased stress and anxiety. There's so many other things that come from this negative pulling of our attention. There's decision paralysis. When we have too much information, it becomes harder to make a decision. We see this, actually, in a known psychological effect called the paradox of choice. Paradox of choice really makes sense of my childhood in some very real ways. You see, when I was growing up, television had three options, ABC, NBC, and CBS, right? And so if something was coming on, I only had to look at three channels and I would probably find it. And I would always somehow find something that would make me happy among the three network affiliates, right? Fast forward into today, now there are literally so many channels, I doubt anybody can keep track of them all. And it's not just on cable, it's streaming services as well. And who knows what all is on all of those. But the fact of the matter is now we have millions of entertainment choices. And what do we end up doing? We end up scrolling through Netflix and not finding a thing that's going to entertain us. You've just entered the paradox of choice. You're less happy because somebody has given you 5 million options. If they had just given you three, you'd have figured something out of the three and you'd have been happier. The fact of the matter is this data compression that keeps going on delivers that negative blow as well. It strains our emotions to the breaking point. I think we probably all have a friend that's addicted to the news cycle. And with every blow or wind or change, they're in our inboxes and calling us on the phone, anxious and frightened about what's going on in the farthest corners and reaches of the world. And certainly, a healthy amount of fear about the unknown is probably wired into us by God, but it can become paralyzing and crippling. And Gloria would call with every change in the world and be more and more frightened, and her story continued to be caught up in panic and sadness. And then there's always the fear of missing out, which is really amplified by an ongoing amount of data processing. And again, I can't help but remember that during the pandemic, everybody was frightened of missing out on whatever life or whatever excitement could be had. And the next thing you know, everybody bought these very expensive training bikes from Peloton, $3,000-$4,000, right? Well, now fast forward and look on your local Craigslist or OfferUp, and what you see is a lot of these Peloton bikes because Well, people were just frightened of missing out on the next great thing. But when they got it, they realized what they got was just an overpriced sports bike and have had to adjust and sell it from there. These challenges are evident. We've got problems, right? And this just scratches the surface, right? There's so much more to this digital addiction that we need to look at and consider. But what we need to do now is turn our thoughts and attention to what does the Bible say? And we're given this great story of Mary and Martha. And again, I think we all recognize the Mary and Marthas among us. And sometimes we need a little bit of both. I'm not here to vilify either one. Because I think there is a time and a place that things need to be done. But Jesus commends the daughter, the sister rather, that waits, that attends to him, that's focused on Jesus Christ. Focused. You know, a few weeks ago I preached on Peter getting up on the water and walking out to Jesus in the midst of a storm. And of course we know that after a period of success, he takes his eyes off of Jesus and falls quickly as a stone. Now, let's not forget that he's immediately rescued by Jesus. But it does draw a point, these two stories, that there is a time and a place for us to be focused on our faith. There is the need, that is, for us to grow spiritually into the people God has created us to be. And that takes effort. Especially in a world that can allow you to take out a phone and open it up and see the hours disappear. You know, I think it's been about a decade ago. I went and saw it. It's still funny to look at, although I feel bad for the person. But you begin in this shot that you'll see on YouTube or someplace, and it's obviously at the interior of a mall looking down at a fountain and a walkway toward it. And there's this nice woman, right? She's got her phone out, and she's walking toward it, right? She's at a pretty good clip, and you just hope. You think, okay, this woman's going to come to and see, and she's going to be fine. No, she falls into the pond, into the well, the pool of water, and she does a pretty good job, honestly. She shakes it off and looks around, right? Doesn't know that the cameras and captured her and immortalized her forever, right? But we all get like that. We get so focused on our screen time. You know, Apple even gave you a thing on your phone that's supposed to show you how much time you're using, but I think all of us pretty quickly figure out how to turn that off, because who wants to be annoyed by being reminded how often you're on your phone, right? But this finding peace and comfort in this world does require a dedication to Jesus Christ, a time for disconnecting that we've got to consider. You know, I've been reading a really great book by Cal Newport, and it's called Digital Minimalism. Now, and I want to dispel you, it's not written from the point of view of faith. This is just a man that has seen what the perils of data addiction are and writes about how to deliberately use technology in a way that will allow us to detoxify from some of the negative things. And I think that his strategies are very helpful. And one of the things he encourages right at the beginning is a 24-hour tech detox. And I know that can take and sound very frightening, but I can personally speak to its advantages, not that I did it willingly, mind you. But about 4 years ago when I was working at River Hills Community Church, I had a full day lined up. I was looking forward to my day's worth of ministry, only to discover that my phone, for reasons that only made sense to probably Apple engineers, had just decided to quit. So I had a day without my phone, and after the panic of what was I going to miss subsided, I got this profound realization, you know, I'm not a heart surgeon, right? The people that need me don't need me to perform life-saving surgery at the minute's notice. It was okay to not be as connected. It took me a couple of days to get the phone sorted out, but what I noticed by about the third day was a peacefulness that had escaped me for years that I just didn't even know of. So as I read this book and this mention of this thing was put forward, I thought, you know, this is a good idea. But then it expands on the idea, talking about even taking breaks from our technology with our partners and our spouses and our significant others. I've seen also this done, David and Tracy were a young couple at our last congregation. They came to our house for dinner, but unfortunately they had to move away to Pittsburgh for his job. But in the course, I was fortunate to be able to keep up with them both. And they both cited that there was distance and discontinuity in their relationship, and they were struggling. But then on a whim, they heard a pastor speak about taking one of these technology breaks, and they went on a weekend deliberately leaving their laptops and cell phones behind, their children in the care of a trusted grandparent. And they just went off. And both of them extol the time together of connecting, of not being inundated with ongoing worries about what's going on in Israel or the Ukraine, to just take a step back and to be with one another and to be with God. This is what our Bible talks about. In James, it says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. It doesn't say draw near to Facebook and God will draw near to you. I can't help but note in a similar thing. But what are we drawing nearing to? What are we drawing more nearer to? And unfortunately, as I look and survey the last couple of weeks of my life, I got to say I've been more in step with technology than I am with the Lord. That happens to us all at times. But it's these words of Scripture, this story of Mary and Martha that calls us back, that reminds us that the greater portion is in our dedication to Jesus Christ. What am I doing? What are you doing today to show your devotion to the Lord? How are you expressing that focus on our Lord Jesus Christ? What are we doing? Because when we figure that out, when we see how our time and our energy and our attention is being sapped and distracted and shown further and further the door, we're going to know why we're feeling hollow on the inside. We're going to know why we're out of step with the world, because we're not in step with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer, knowing and trusting that the Lord our God hears these words and does indeed respond. You know, last week it was shared with me, and it just slipped my mind, but a former member of the congregation, Kurt Holler, is struggling and is being treated for cancer. I know he was well known here, so please consider keeping him in your prayers. I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that before we get going with our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, like deers long for flowing streams of water, so too, O Lord, do our hearts thirst for you, and in you and you alone do they find their rest and their contentment, and most importantly, Heavenly Father, do we find our peace. Heavenly Father, we recognize this is a world in which there's an ongoing amount of distractions, things seeking to distract us. Lord, help us keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of these times and in these difficult struggles. Be with us, providing us every necessary thing to not only keep our focus on Jesus Christ, but to keep us working toward your glory. Father God, this is still a world broken by sin, and Father God, in that place we still find sickness and illness and sadness and depression. And so, Father God, we pray, lifting those prayers up to you. We pray for Diane Black and Barbara Stevens and her family. We pray for Elizabeth Bullock and Eileen Grant and Jack Parker and Dennis Abernathy. We pray for Charlie McCrary and Dale Lucky and Jill Griffin, Sarah Justice. We pray for Tom McClure and Nancy and Richard Smith. And we pray for so many others that are in need of your intercessory prayer. Gracious God, we lift up to you all the names in our prayer list, asking that you would shepherd them and guide them and provide each according to their need. Father God, we think of our armed forces and pray for them, asking that you keep them safe in the field. Just as Heavenly Father, we pray for your peace to descend on the Middle East and in Ukraine and in all the hot spots of the world, allowing your peace to thrive in the midst of this, your world. We make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom. We make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being, concluding our prayer praying the way he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for this day. Thank you for these blessings that you've shared with us. Thank you, Father, for the blessings we return to you. Gracious God, we pray that you would keep it, this offering for you and your youth, bringing you glory in this your world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. We remember that we can get so easily distracted, and there's so many things coming at us. But the story of Mary and Martha reminds us that there is a greater part. There is this dedication. That's not to say that we won't find ourselves going into action, but until we have our focus correct, we'll continue to fail. Friends, I ask for your prayers. We'll go to Kairos this week, and so we ask for your prayers for that ministry and all the lives that we hope it'll touch. So now let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, bless this day. Use it to your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
And me, I need a miracle.